Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As Christians, we live in the here and now. Yet we also remember where we came from, and as God has informed us, he teaches where we are going. In all of this, our eyes remain fixed on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of faith. We live in the here and now in that we cannot go back into the past and change it, nor will worrying about the future do any good. God chose not to place us in a previous time, nor has he seen it fit for us to live in a future era. We remember our collective past and the many mercies of God as they unfolded in the scriptures and as they have occurred in history ever since. And we also anticipate the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come in great splendor and glory and will grant everlasting life to all who believe in him. And next week, we will look back and remember one of the greatest events that has happened in world history. And that is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we observe his nativity, we reflect on the reality that the eternal God became a human, flesh, and made his dwelling among us. God incarnate as a man. As one who made his dwelling among us as our Emmanuel and our Good Shepherd and our Savior. The second person of the triune God took on human flesh. And this most magnificent reality is something for us to always dwell on and to look back on with great wonder and amazement. In the church year, the collective seasons from Advent through Pentecost Sunday are known as the festival half of the church year. For through that season of those seasons of the church year, we follow Christ from his advent in the flesh to his crucifixion and resurrection and ascension and his sending of the Holy Spirit. We look back at all of these events in history with holy joy and with awe. Next week, we will even sing an excellent Christmas hymn that says, "Oh, that we were there, oh, that we were there." It sure would have been amazing to be one of those shepherds who had been greeted by the angels very suddenly and had been told of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and then served as the Christ child's first visitors. Or it would have been amazing to have been those magi who saw that star, followed it, went to Jerusalem, then to Bethlehem, to the house where Jesus was staying, and offering him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Yet God saw it fit for us not to live in that age, but in this day. The people of the Old Testament look forward to that coming of Christ year in and year out for thousands of years. The people waited in anticipation. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent his only begotten Son into the world to redeem the world. Yet the people of the Old Testament, as they lived their lives, they fulfilled their days doing what God had called them to do by doing their various vocations. They labored, they worked, they worshiped the Lord, they raised their families, they walked in the ways God would have them go. They lived in the present time for them, and they looked back at those great and marvelous works of God, such as when God created the heavens and the earth, or when he flooded the entire world and yet saved his people, the Exodus or Jonah, or the many other events recorded in Scripture. And they also looked ahead to the coming of their Messiah, of Jesus Christ. And all the while they lived in their here and now, as they fulfilled their vocations, doing the works that God had in store for them. those shepherds and those magi who had that most marvelous opportunity to see the baby Jesus, they too returned back to their own vocations. God has seen it fit for you to live in this present age, an age when food is in abundance, an age when amenities are all around us, a time when we have easy access to heat in the winter and cool air in the summer, a time when online communication breaks down the many barriers that would otherwise isolate people, a time of advanced medicine, and in a time of much knowledge. And so we live in the here and now. We do as our Lord would bid us to do, and that is to do good to all. We serve our neighbor through our various vocations. We remember and we repeat those great works of God as they are recorded in the scriptures. And we look forward, just as the people look forward in the Old Testament era to the coming of Christ at his incarnation. So also we look forward to the coming of Christ on the last day, that day of judgment. We know that we cannot go back to live during some of those amazing Bible times, nor can we fast forward to our Lord's return. And so we wait in eager expectation. We are prepared, as Jesus taught us to do in our reading from Luke. As we live our everyday lives, we are tempted to think that God, though, may somehow be distant, or maybe isn't active in our lives. We don't always see his plans as they are slowly unfolding all around us. But when we consider where we are at, as the year of our Lord 2020 draws to a close, we can see that God has been at work throughout this entire year. While everyone is wearied by the pandemic, we are not suffering bodily as much as had been anticipated. Some with COVID-19 have had no symptoms. People's health could have been poor. The economy could have suffered much more. The general welfare of the people could have fared much worse. God has certainly been with us in the here and now, and God will continue to be present among us even during times of cross and trial. For in our first reading today, God reminds us and he comforts us when he says, "For this slight and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." You see, while we live in the here and now, we also look forward to that future reality of Christ's return, where he will make all things new, where he will judge the living and the dead, and usher in the life everlasting. We can't see that future reality, but we trust his word of promise, for he keeps his promises. Just as the Old Testament people look forward to the coming of Christ, so also we look forward to his coming. Jesus even teaches us to be ready. He tells us to stay awake, for he will come at a time when many are not expecting him, at a time where many are banking on a more convenient time. And so while we live in the here and now, we must not get so caught up in the things that are going on in the world around us that we forget that Christ has redeemed us through the shedding of his blood, or that someday we will face that great day of reckoning. That's why it's important for us, as we live in the here and now, to focus on that which is truly important, to receive that one thing that is needful, and that is the word of Christ, receiving his gifts, to keep on remembering the great works of God as recorded in Scripture, and the marvelous promises of the things that are to come. It is even good for us to keep on praying, as the scriptures teach us, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." For we know that when he returns, he will make all things new. He will raise our bodies up to immortality. We will have glorious bodies, not unlike Christ's own body. Christ will recreate the heavens and the earth, and we will dwell with him forever. We will be perfect in every way. We will no longer face temptation to sin. Our bodies will no longer have various diseases or pains, they will not be frail. And so to adapt the words of that Christmas hymn that we will sing next week, oh, that we were there. Oh, that we were there. Imagine how glorious it will be when we see God face to face, when we live in perfection and suffer no hardship or any difficulty. When Jesus returns in glory, he will certainly judge. But he will not judge us based on how good we have been. He will not judge us based on even how bad we have been. Instead, he will judge us according to his own righteousness. For we who have lived by grace through faith in Jesus Christ are counted by him as being not guilty. He will judge us as being innocent. He will count us as righteous ones, and he will say that we have done everything well. We have this because Jesus paid for our sins and perfectly fulfilled the law in our place. And so our sins are canceled out. Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven and covered. That is what belongs to you. And so when Jesus comes back to judge, he will judge you as a Christian to be innocent, righteous, and holy. And then when he makes all things new, you will be innocent, righteous, and holy to the end of time. We will dwell with him with our perfect bodies for eternity, and for that we give thanks. These are blessings that are not earned by us, but were earned by our Lord Jesus Christ when he came the first time, and are now granted to us by grace through faith. For through faith, God forgives our sins and reckons us as holy ones. He sees in us the perfection of Christ, and he declares to us that we have done all things well. He calls us good and faithful servants. He invites us to his banquet feast and declares that all things are now ready for us. Oh, that we were there. But in the here and now, we redeem the time. We serve God and our neighbor through our various vocations, and we rejoice in the confidence that Christ will bring us with him to everlasting life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.